Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, we have a fair and balanced competition between Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand and Mason Sauvignon Blanc in Napa Valley. So sit back, relax, and listen to conspiracy theories that Becky has about me hating on New Zealand wines here on the Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by a panel that is so happy, that has so much joy in their hearts, they can hardly contain themselves. And that means the unlicensed taxi driver is not, he is here. Okay, Scott is here. Sorry.
Hello.
I got confused. Also, folks, I would never forget her. It's the Triple B.
Again.
Good evening. I thought of something else I wanted to say off air, but I'll tell you in a
Would never forget her again.
No, what? I would never forget her. I will never forget you, Becky. And that was beautiful.
That was so pretty.
It's awesome. On tonight's show, folks, we're back to doing a side-by-side comparison. Tonight, we're going to do Sauvignon Blanc again. However, Rodney Strong is not allowed on the show. The Fry Brothers are never allowed on the show.
Oh.
Unfortunately, though, I'm not sure that I made the best choice in what we're doing tonight, because I think one of the wines will be very good. Mm. And the other one is a boo-boo, I'm pretty sure. Mm. Accidentally. But nevertheless, we're going to compare New Zealand versus California.
Oh.
And I've wanted to prove for a long time that California and Sauvignon Blancs are superior to New Zealand, and tonight
what?
I will be successful in that. Because we're going
now
to
that I know that, I'm going to definitely rush and judge the Napa one.
Well, this is a bit of a Sesame Street kind of thing, I think, where we're going to have one of these things is not like the other.
Did you
one
purposefully do like a $5 and a $50?
What?
No, I have done an $11 and a $16.
Which one's 16?
The Napa.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, because $5 makes such a difference.
Uh-huh.
However, I have read some things, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that suggest this first wine is not particularly good.
Are you going to tell us which one this is, or no?
I am. Now, I have familiarity with this winery. I like their Pinot-ish, sort of. It's okay. It's an okay winery. It's from New Zealand. It's called Oyster Bay. It's like Brandicott.
That's what we're
or,
drinking now.
Yes, Oyster Bay is what's on it. It's a Marlboro. You know, it's got some got some history.
I have a lot of affection for that area.
Mm-hmm. You do. And they have some winemaking techniques. They have some of that. They have some grapes. They have some of that.
They're usually solid. New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs are generally solid.
New Zealand are. I thought you meant Oyster Bay.
Well.
It's fine.
I also think that Marlboro is a major wine-producing area of New Zealand, and I especially typically like what comes out of that area.
It's also a really good cigarette. So, the second wine
it's
we have...
differently.
I know. The second wine
so
we have...
disdain for you.
...is a wine from my youth. Back when I was a young child, my mother would serve me this. Because that's what she believed in.
Before, when you were older and you only acted like a young child.
No, right. When I was in my 20s. When I worked at the Anderson. This was our, as a store's, favorite Sauvignon Blanc.
Hmm.
This and Saint-Supré.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really New Zealand and whatnot then. I mean, that country didn't exist. You remember those times, Scott.
Yeah.
You
back
were 72 years
flat.
Old. Yes. No, this wine is a small producer. Let me start off with that.
Hmm.
From Napa, called Mason. Mason. They make two different wines at Mason. A Sauvignon Blanc that costs $17.
I thought you said $16.
It's $16.99. All right. Oyster Bay costs
$13.99.
I bought it for $7. But that's okay. They make a Sauvignon Blanc. And then they make a Cabernet. I've never seen their Cabernet, but it's on their website. It costs around $70.
What?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So they have two wines. They have no Chardonnay. They have no Merlot. They just make two. And you can't ever find the Cabernet because it's so low production. Hmm. It might be one where they do sell grapes. I forget. Not buy, sell.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the story.
Maybe they sell to, What's the one, the Hocking Hills Winery?
No. It's more like they sell to Mary Edwards.
Oh, really?
No, I just made that up.
I just absolutely.
I have no idea. But it something tells me that was true at some point. But I might have made that up in my mind, which is good information on a wine program. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then I'm sure Scott will look all those facts up and disprove them here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So the Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc, the 2018 vintage, of course. It received the dreaded red tag at Meijer. But that's, say, what are you going to do? You know? Recently, I bought their Pinot, too, on red tag. And
how was it?
Fine.
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps a little more fruit forward than I would like. But
particularly from New Zealand.
Yeah. But it still does taste like Pinot, and it doesn't taste like anything you would buy. So that's always good.
Hey, easy.
That's good. So, I want to read something. There's no reviews for this wine, except for...
Well, there's kind of a review.
I found a website, and the Triple B is going to love this. And it's who fucking cares?
Tomatom.
Anyway.
The website's called Tomato.
Yeah, Tomato. 11 reasons to avoid Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc. He wrote an article on that. Now, that's so interesting because it's Oyster Bay, but
do you think
okay.
The microphone picked up that sigh, or should I do it again?
Do it again.
Now, I like this. Some say that the grapes are trodden by the feet of hobbits. Others, that it is simply made with their pee. But, okay. Yes. Wow. Let's scroll down. The 11 reasons why this gentleman feels that Oyster Bay.
I at first thought that we were going to be listening to someone that was an actual wine critic. I had no idea.
What? You mean Ed?
He's critical.
Ed?
He's critical.
Not a wine critic?
He's critical. So number one, its fruity flavor tastes like Starburst with a bite of lemon acid afterwards. Okay. Oyster Bay, number two, Oyster Bay is a caricature of a Sauvignon Blanc with its bold tropical fruity flavors and acid. That's number one. So they're both the same thing.
Well, did you notice that there's no number two? That was number three.
Oh, it is. Proofreading, not strong in this gentleman. Well, you know, and there is no number three either because it's the same thing as number one. Number four, which is number three, it way well be grown in Marlborough, but really reflects the terroir of stainless steel.
So I think this person is actually Elmer Fudd.
Well, he doesn't understand what terroir is.
And
but
you should
okay.
read it like Elmer Fudd.
Number five, which is four. It's not really a wine, but a stepping stone from and sweet something.
Alcopops.
Alcopops and sweet cocktails to wine. Try something like Pinot Gris instead if you have a sweet tooth. A local slightly fizzy Moscato. Okay. Number six, which is five. It is difficult to find any food that this wine does not overshadow, apart from a Big Mac.
Oh, what? Nice reference to Mac Quack Donald's.
I like how he put that in quotations. That's just part of your sentence. Number seven, which is six. If you do order it in a restaurant, you will be ripped off because the owner knows it will be a popular choice, which it isn't, and therefore it will fatten their margins by charging extra for it. No one carries it.
But he does make a nice little comment.
What?
Best avoid any restaurant with Oyster Bay Sauv Blanc on the menu, to be honest. I agree with that.
Why?
Exactly.
I've been at restaurants where they serve Predator. Number eight, which is seven. If I were to match it with anything, it would be the TV show Desperate Housewives, which, of course, I've never watched. Yes, you have. Number nine, it's been reviewed by the big, it hasn't. Number 10, which is nine, you can buy it for under 17. It's not. Oh,
why are we reading someone's website that can't even format the numbers correctly?
Well, that's the point. That's what's called comedy.
So, I am getting so mad because I am really excited to drink this wine.
Well, first of all, let me just say about the wine. Visually, it has so many damn bubbles.
It is effervescent.
It's curious.
Effervescent. Tiny bubbles.
It kind of looks like you made a wine spritzer out of it.
It really does.
It does.
Kind that of is, sort of, yeah.
And remember the Brandicott that we had the 18? That was a total shit show.
Why didn't you compare this with Kimmy?
Because Kimmy's better than this.
I know, but it's a more similar price point to Napa Mason.
Mason versus Kimmy, you mean?
Yes.
Because that would make you sad when Mason kicks the shit out of Kimmy.
No.
You can just imagine Kimmy in your mind.
Without having had a drink, I do feel like you are purposefully trying to prove that Napa is better than New Zealand, and that I don't believe that's the case.
For sheep herding, it is not.
Hobbit.
Lamb eating. Chops. Hobbit's pee.
True. Speaking of Lord Triple of the B, Rings, Bo is with us tonight.
I think you're a little Hobbit friend, Bo. I think you're emotionally invested in this way too much already.
I am.
The nose, Scott. The nose is so interesting. It's not.
You know what the nose? It's soap. When you
soap.
Well, I was gonna say it is soapy, but when you smell a good Sauvignon Blanc, it has even a crisp nose on it. This is a flabby nose.
Yeah, I was gonna say. When did you smell that?
I didn't smell it in this. I'm saying this is a flabby.
You know, there is.
It's not crisp. It's not sharp.
There is a lemon back through the nastiness. There's a nice sharp lemon in there. It's just that soapiness is like.
It's not sharp lemon. It's.
I'm very mad at you for not using lemon, Kimmy.
Lemon pudding.
Because you could have gotten a green apple, a grapefruit. I mean, we've done it on the show. I can recite it.
You would have been so mad.
No.
I thought this would be better than this. Let's taste it. This nose is shitty.
Well, for one, it's not cold enough.
It doesn't taste like Starburst.
You know,
no. It's not honestly, as sweet as I expected.
If you put your hand on your glass, it is cold enough. It just doesn't taste cold enough.
No.
What do you think?
I don't know if this wine can be cold enough, but that's just my opinion.
You're so cold.
No, it's not.
It's hot-blooded.
Awful.
Check it and see.
It's better than, it's so much better than Rodney Strong's Charlotte Home or Fry Brothers. Well, I think that.
I just wouldn't pick out New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc from this. It's a little.
Well,
it's lacking of the tropical fruit presence.
Well, he was saying it does.
Entirely.
The illiterate Aussie that wrote that article was suggesting that it did.
This is a 10-year-old article, though. So
was it? One thing I will say about
maybe
this wine.
It's a different vintage.
I know. I know that it's. I don't think it's on oak, but its finish has a bit of
a
toast.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's it's kind of
and a little heat. Yeah. It's an off kilter wine to a certain extent. It's better than Brandicott, I can tell you right now. Brandicott was a total shit show.
I also am like, is that some kind of minerality through the middle, or is that just something?
Minerality?
I don't know what it is in the middle. How's that? Please mansplain it to me.
Well, what you meant to say was.
I said, I don't know what it is. That's my best stab at
it. I am just kind of taken aback that you're speaking without permission. I don't know why you're doing that. I just think you know better than that by now.
Just hit myself in the face with
see?
My head.
See? Karma. Karma.
Go ahead.
It is a sexist god that looks over you.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
What is that in the mid palate?
Pineapple?
No.
It's pineapple.
There's something besides pineapple in the mid palate.
No pineapple.
It's pineapple.
There's pineapple, Rob, but there's something else.
I mean, it's not. Well.
To me, it tastes like an overripe pineapple.
I was going to say an underripe pineapple, but. Yes. What you mean, one that's so ripe
that it's hooch. Almost rotten.
Yes.
That. Oh, it does have a bit of a hooch.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of a hooch, but I don't. I go for more like
slightly petrolish, because I wouldn't. Lemon I would
than the ripe pineapple.
It's the prickly. It's the light prickliness of it. That's the area. I mean, how different is a pineapple and a lemon? Well, there's a prickliness to a pineapple in a wine. That's what we're saying.
I tell you where you'd pray for something like this. You go to the wine. Or excuse me. You go to the a wedding where they don't even tell you it's Merlot or Chardonnay. They just say we've got red wine and white wine.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
It'd be fine.
No,
and
no.
We'd sit around going, hey, I wonder what this is. And you know what we wouldn't say? We wouldn't say, that's a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
No.
You know, I am actually going to go along. It has a light petrol finish. Oh, well, it starts in the mid palate. And it kind of just lingers through the finish, just a light petrol aspect. I think that might be what you're talking about, minerality.
That's, I don't know I what see it a little is. Bit Do of you a petrol. See something?
Yeah.
I also wouldn't say I would speak favorably of it.
No, I did just for the first time.
Whatever
when I
it
didn't
is.
Pull as much air over it, I did get the heat for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
When I quaff air over it, I'm not getting that heat. But when I just sip it, there's that heat on the finish that's quite unbecoming.
You can drink it.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I honestly am like want to put some ice cubes in it.
Oh no, it would actually be add a little Sprite, some ice cubes, decent wine spritzer wine.
That's well, 7, it's basically right? a spritzer already.
Oh yeah, wine slushy.
But when you're talking about that petrol, you're not talking about the texture.
No, I'm talking about the flavor of petrol. A somewhere between hairspray and fuel oil. Very light, but it's there. Petrol. Not viscosity. Not not an oiliness. I'm talking about the flavor of petrol. Very light, though.
And it does make me sad because sometimes when you get a nice Sauvignon Blanc, you can get like a waxy mouth feel.
Yes.
You can get an oily mouth feel.
You get some texture.
And you don't get any
There's no
of
texture.
That in
this
here.
Is this is lean, I don't think is the right word. It just doesn't have any texture. It just doesn't have any mouth feel. Lacking. It's just and I think that's why it feels like it's not cold enough.
Oh,
well,
maybe.
This is a bare bones.
Yeah.
Very basic. Very, 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 very basic. New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc or Sauvignon Blanc in general.
Yeah.
This I would say is on par with your basic United States California level
this
Sauvignon
is,
Blanc.
This is more like a California Sauvignon Blanc, although I think even California would say that's not.
Well, it doesn't have the acidity that we would normally.
Yes. And it doesn't also generally California Sauvignon Blancs, they're going to have some texture. They're going to have some type of mouthfeel.
Man, not Josh Sauvignon Blanc. I mean, I'm talking that level, the ones we wouldn't drink anyway. You know?
How much is that?
I'm not priced.
I think 15.
Is it?
Oh. I think.
That's crackhead price. But this is actually a little bit more than that sometimes. The full retail price, it says, in the high teens.
Yeah.
Which is
I think
of the Sauvignon Blanc?
A long time ago, you had me drink Cloudy Bay.
Did we ever have Cloudy Bay?
You had me drink Cloudy Bay. I liked it more than... We were traveling somewhere and you got me Cloudy Bay.
See, Cloudy Bay is the Penta Ultimate of New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, really. There are even more premium ones now, but back in the day, that was like the thing.
We were in a little tiny wine shop somewhere, and we saw it and we got it. I feel like we were in Louisville or somewhere like that.
Oh, you mean like a glass or a bottle of it?
We got a bottle. I think we were in Louisville
Total
at like
wine.
A little tiny wine shop.
Huh.
Like it was like a boutique and a wine shop.
A small place like Total Wine.
Yes, it was like a very small boutique wine warehouse. but I remember
boutique,
sir. I saw your haircut.
That was one of the first.
Do they do the secret handshake, and you don't know what that's all about?
I love that.
So that was one of the first times that you, when I didn't like it as much as Kimmy. You made me tell you why I didn't like it as much. That was one of the first times that we talked about how
you were wrong.
No. We talked about how it is just as important to say what you don't like in a wine as it is. It's important to be able to say what you don't like in a wine.
Okay.
But that's why I remember that wine.
That's probably what I told her. But in reality, my thought process was, well, you're just wrong. But that's okay. I don't know. I probably only had.
You also said you like what you like.
Does that sound like me, Scott?
No, it sounds like Scott.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
That sounds definitely like me. It does not sound like Rob.
No.
But, you know, that voice in your head, you know, I come out from time to time.
Yeah. It's like, I do. I think we're talking about
something. It's annoying, but you're going to hear my voice in your head probably more often now.
I know that I've wanted you to try that. I just don't remember us doing it. But, yeah, why not? But Cloudy Bay, you can buy at Meijer. So it's not like it's that special anymore. But, I mean, I haven't had it in so long that I don't recall its quality level. I know it's a very high quality level, but, you know, Love Block's there, you know, what the hell?
Has it been mass produced? Has it been bought up by the constellations of the world? Has something happened to it?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's very possible. Very possible. Well, folks, we're going to go around the room. And we're going to get a numerical score.
It was acquired by, it's now an LVMH brand, but it was acquired by Champagne House, that Veuve
Clicquot. Oh,
Veuve Clicquot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Huh.
Well, I didn't know Veuve was doing well. Then again, Veuve is kind of like the Meiomi of French champagne.
Easy.
I didn't know. So I looked up LVMH.
It's the Meiomi of French champagne. Yes, go ahead.
That is so now Cloudy Bay is owned by, I guess there's like a French conglomerate that owns Hennessy. Yes. Louis Vuitton. I didn't know that.
We've talked about this before. What was the wine? Moet.
How do you say that?
Moet. That's it. That's when we talked about it.
Yeah.
Oh, they own that. Oh, God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Which owns Dom. Oh, that's Dom.
Yeah.
And Dom for the longest time was... And then in the last maybe 7-8 vintages, it's been back to... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a collectible now. There's several vintages where you're like, eh. I mean, you can buy something at $30 or $40. It's superior. Not so much anymore. They've changed that up a little bit. So, Becky, the oyster.
Oh, we're rating it now?
Oh, of course we're rating it now. You would forget it later.
But I would not. We never do that.
We are.
Folks, this LVMH Cloudy Bay website, it's quite cool.
You know a wine is interesting when, A, I want to just go ahead and review it, and, B, Scott's looking at some other wine that has nothing to do with this wine.
That's correct. I would love to do anything else but talk about this wine.
Would you like me to give the first review so you all to...
No, I'm comfortable.
No, I will give my review first, okay. Per usual. I'm giving it an 85.
All right.
Because you know it's a Sauvignon Blanc.
Do you?
Yes, you know this is a Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, I read the label, but
it doesn't. You would know it from anywhere because it has the characteristics of one. It's not a wine that I would necessarily want to drink again. I would honestly give it like an 84, 85. That's where my range would be lower.
Okay,
but you would know that's it. It doesn't have literally anything to move it up a level.
Would you buy this again?
No.
No. Would you recommend this to our listeners?
Scott.
Perestroika.
Oh, yeah. You think so, huh?
Are you the Russian judge?
He doesn't know. What is it?
81.
Oh.
I don't think. I think you can pull out of there that it's Sauvignon Blanc if you want, but I don't get tropical fruit. I don't get the pineapple. And you know why I'm giving it that 81? Because I got that burn in my throat, and I can't get rid of that. And that's a big strike on an otherwise meh wine. It's probably not that horrible, but that burn, it's been a long time since we've had a wine that has that heat. And folks, it's got some heat.
Well, let me tell you this. Scott tonight is the Yugoslavian judge, because... I am the Russian judge, you. You bastards. I am giving this wine 80 love of my points. An 80.
Oh my flat gosh, 80. That's stupid.
What and did you have before I said 81?
80.
Okay.
I had an 80 before Becky said 85. Because she loves it. But let me tell you why.
I am mainly just extremely annoyed that you didn't pick a better New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
I didn't have a better New Zealand. This is the only one I had.
So, we don't. It's not like we don't so get wine delivered every other day. It's not like you weren't at Kroger yesterday.
I was at Trader Joe's too. I didn't know.
Oh yeah, that. There's some safe choices yeah, there.
I know.
I wish you all could see my eye roll.
Hey, you do. Anyway, wine 80 because it is drinkable. However, it's not. I mean, it's pleasant enough to actually consume and not be sick.
You hope.
Well, I am feeling sulfites in my ear. My ears are burning. But still.
From this?
Yes. There is nothing of interest.
None of us have finished our glasses.
No. There's nothing of interest in the wine. It's flabby. It does have the heat on the finish. The fruit is muddled.
Your scores are too low. I think an 83-ish would be fine.
Perestroika, perestroika. No, I'm sorry. It's fine that you like it more than we do.
I have to buffer it.
What
up
are
some.
You doing?
I'm trying to cut this.
Why don't
cheese
you chew it with your
that
teeth?
That rind
off
is
there.
So tough.
It's really
we've got
hard.
A what's it called? Thousand day
Gouda from Trader Joe's, which means it's
delight.
10 days. It's good.
It's taking Gouda to another level.
And every time I get a piece cut off, he takes it. So it looks like I'm over here carving on this all night.
Yep.
It's not easy.
Trader Joe's cheese, delicious wine. Shit. But that's okay.
Every once in a while, there's a good bottle there.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. We like that.
Do you know they
French
have
French thing?
They have something. They have some premium wines. They have Stag's Leap. They have Camus. But they have something called Stag's Canyon.
No.
It's like 30 or 40 bucks.
No.
Like, that's a knockoff.
They sell Camus at Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Well, they have it for sale. I didn't say they sold it.
They'll have three or four nice bottles of wine.
Stag's Canyon. Not nervous.
We have to get it.
I don't want a spot. It's like $36.
Really? Maybe it's good.
Stag's Canyon?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
who knows?
And there's the guy's like, are you finding everything that you're looking for? I went, yes, my cart is empty.
Yeah. I think the bottle of French do you have any we liked was called.
Do you have any Rivage Cabernet?
Prometheus, maybe?
Prometheus.
There was one we liked.
I'm pretty sure we didn't like that. I know of nothing. Pontificus.
No, Pontificus is the one. Yeah, we kind of like that. It's
yeah,
okay.
I'm not sure if I'd like it again. I can buy Tessier for the same price, or Tessalay.
Yeah.
And I'll drink that. But so, folks.
Becky doesn't care for that as well.
Do you think she'd like Pontificus? No. Folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back with Mason Napa Sauvignon Blanc, which is vastly superior to anything from New Zealand, here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So now we're on to the vastly superior Napa Valley. Thank God we're away from New Zealand. Such drivel.
No response.
No. So Mason Sauvignon Blanc. This is a wine I had when I was a child because my mother would serve me alcohol. No, she wouldn't do that. Or would she? No, Mason when
Does
I
mom
was...
Does mom still listen to the show?
No, I hope not. Anyway, that's why she's always mad at me. I don't know. You'll get these texts where they'll be like this long thing. It's just like, okay. Anyway.
It's this long thing. Do you read them?
It's long. I know. Anyway, Mason was a wine that we would have at the store, recommend to everybody. It was more expensive back then, actually. It was like 19. What we loved about it is it was one of the most herbaceous Sauvignon Blancs we'd ever come across.
Huh.
They really captured the terroir. It just was vastly interesting. I had it on multiple occasions and really enjoyed it. It and Saint-Supré were two that I liked. Saint-Supré is a little more classic Californian, perhaps, but it's still, you know, a stalwart in Sauvignon Blanc production. But Mason, you've got the Cabernet, which I've never had, never seen, which I'd like to find, and their Sauvignon Blanc. So they make money off those two things, even though they're not high-production wines. No reviews, by the way.
Beautiful no label.
Yes.
Kind of sort of a label that we might make fun of normally, because it kind of has a ninth grader art level to it. But nonetheless, it's colorful. It's green. It actually, in the bottle, the wine actually looks green because of the green labels.
That's true.
But it's not.
The winery was founded in 1993, too.
Okay. Yeah. But this is one of the palest white wines we've done on the show.
Yeah.
It's extremely pale.
I mean,
still though,
it's almost like lemon water.
Very, very, very pale.
I've had stronger colored lemon water.
Yes. Maybe it's rose water. Oh, by the way, this is James Suckley, and I'd like to tell you I've had a lovely time recently seeing the entire tasting panel. Socially, of course. I might join.
James?
What?
This is Tim.
No, what?
What do you. The paid tasting panel.
You can't satisfy me, Tim. Sorry. No. It takes all four of them when they have a quorum. So.
I'll send more pictures. Jimmy? Jimmy?
Regardless. Oh, I'm sorry. Regardless.
Irregardless.
On the nose.
Does this disturb you how pale this is?
No.
Just from a technical standpoint, why do you think it's so pale?
Stainless steel. Treated correctly. Although it might be a bit on oak, too, knowing this. Fruit that is done properly. You know, you got to remember some of these things that are straw-colored. Why? Why are they straw-colored?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked yourself that? Why are they that color? Self. Why aren't they this color?
Self. Why is it straw colored?
Yes.
Will you ever see French whites that are this pale?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, of course they would be. That's what they normally are. Sancerre from the Loire Valley, that would be very pale like.
Okay. All right.
So on the nose, it is muted.
Yeah, muted? It's a very light nose.
Muted? There's nothing there.
There's something there.
That's not muted. There's
a very
nothing.
Light citrus nose.
I would say more pear. Maybe a slight spice, but very light.
I've got the COVID. I smell nothing. That's a terrible thing to say. I shouldn't say that. That's a horrible joke to make, but I don't smell anything.
I didn't know that was funny, so maybe it's not a joke.
I think I can see the pear. I'm thinking there's maybe a whiff of a grapefruit.
That I get a little grapefruit, maybe. But it's so muted.
It's especially
light.
So muted for how strong a grapefruit smell is. Yeah. Like how easily distinguishable it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go in.
Okay.
This is the palest white wine perhaps we've done on the show. That is the lightest nose. That is the closest to nothing I ever recall us having on the show. Mm. The nose.
Mm. Oh. It is full flavored on the palate, though. That is a big Sauvignon Blanc.
That's lovely.
Isn't it?
That is texture.
It is.
Wow. Wow.
Rich, heavy texture.
Wow.
Never weighty, though. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? It's not heavy on the tongue. It's heavy on the roof of your mouth. It has like a soft core to it.
The texture of this wine carries from the second, the millisecond it hits your palate,
the finish,
all the way through the finish.
There's the finish still goes on.
It's almost creamy. It's not quite creamy. It's not glycerin. This, to quote my friend the Triple B, this has an elevated mouthfeel.
It does. And the floral elements are there. Rose petals.
Oh. Rose water?
No, not rose water. And a blood orange.
Showing up your hat.
Would you take it from him, please?
We're going to have a dog intervention.
Bo, give me that. Give me the hat. Come.
Yes.
Come here.
Well, they take the hat from him.
Poe's my friend.
He's not my friend.
He's not your friend, right?
No,
now.
He's not.
He ran off with the other day, Scott, was an empty bag of charcoal.
Yes.
And it was like a red, white, and blue bag. And he ran past the front window. I'm sitting there working. And I see it run by. And I'm like, does he have a flag?
Yes, he does.
That's what I thought he had. But he was shredding, in the process of shredding a charcoal bag.
It's not unusual for me to come to the Dern's house and there be evidence of what's gone on during their weekend. Well, there was evidence of a fight with a cardboard box.
Yes.
With a bench seat that they've had for as long as I've been coming to the house, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And something that once was wooden. I'm not sure what that was.
You might have also seen some fire starters.
Yeah, he chewed those up. That can't
be good.
You might
have thought it was straw, but those were fire starters.
Those were fire starters?
Yes.
Those little nest ones, you know what I'm talking about?
He didn't get them all. I salvaged some of them and put them away, but yeah. That was up on like a ledge. He just finds things.
He's really becoming to be a difficult person in the household.
He is.
He's a toddler.
He is a toddler. But on the glass, in the glass, folks, as we taste this wine.
Let's talk through this mouthfeel. Oh, I want to know what this... Let's talk through this mouthfeel.
Okay.
It's thick.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Feeling. And Rob nailed it. It's on the roof of your mouth. Like a dry-ass Merlot would have that astringent mouth-washing that we refer to.
Yes.
This is kind of the opposite of that. But it's at the same place on the top of the roof of your mouth.
Yes.
This is going to sound appalling to compare a wine to this. That texture of Gatorade, which normally I would not think of as in a positive way, it's similar to the texture of this.
I don't know the last time I had Gatorade, but you probably had one more recently than me.
I hate Gatorade. It's all I mean, corn syrup. I can't do it.
I understand what you... are alluding to
the denseness of it.
Yeah, it does have a slight denseness to it. It is on oak though, because the finish, the oak is lightly present on the finish. It's but in the Sauvignon Blanc, it's properly added in and has the weight to balance all that out.
Describe the mouthfeel. Use your elevated words.
Well, it is borderline creamy, but not quite to that. It's alive, and the fact is it's never weighty on your tongue, so it never becomes a flabbiness. It's always this lovely presence that you just are just sinking your teeth into the whole time. It's one of these wines where normally you just say, Sauvignon Blanc, just some light throwaway thing. This isn't one of those.
This is
a red wine drinker would find appeal to this wine. They would see the same kind of depth they enjoy in a red wine in this wine.
Becky,
flavors are different.
What do you have about the mouthfeel?
I am not as much of a fan of this wine as you are.
Of course you're not.
Because the reason why you say a red wine drinker would like this and it's not a throwaway Sauvignon Blanc is because to me it is not stylistically a traditional Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, it is a stylistically a traditional Sauvignon Blanc.
No, it's
I
not.
I think Rob. Just the mouth
it
feels
is.
Different.
In Napa, not, this is what they taste like.
So let me finish. I think that the mouth feels fine. Some of the some of the boldness that we've talked about that California does, where it's over the top, that's how this tastes to me. It's too much.
Oh, no.
I don't find this to be an appealing wine. I understand the style of it, but to me, it almost overpowers what a Sauvignon Blanc should be. Because a Sauvignon Blanc should be crisp and light. This is... it's acidic almost to...
Oh, no, I wouldn't... It has acidity, but it's imbalanced.
To me, it's not.
What is over the... So forget the mouthfeel. What's over the top about it?
The mouthfeel's fine. I think the mouthfeel's nice.
Yeah.
To me, it's just... it's too much in the way that...
capitalism is too much, right?
Easy. Let her speak. Smack him.
She can't. She's all the way down at the corner of the table.
It's too much to me. The front palate is fine. It's the finish, to me, that's too much, which I know you all are singing its praises.
Finish is the best part.
To me, it is too much. It is, yeah, in the same way that we talk about, like, an Italian red versus a Napa red, and sometimes it's just too much. It's too big. It's like... it has to be an exaggerated version of itself. Mm. That's how the finish tastes to me.
See, the mid palate makes up for all of that because the mid palate is so relaxed and restrained. See, we have had a lot of the Stag's Leap and things like that. Those Napas where they take the oak and beat you over the head with it. And it loses the charm that the Sauvignon Blanc has. This has all that charm.
But, well, and maybe it's just as simple as that. Maybe you just don't like the oaking.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. For sure, it's
maybe,
too much.
Maybe it's as simple as that. Or
it's too much.
We also like it's Chardonnays present. More than you do.
It's prominent.
Sure.
This is like Sauvignon Blanc. But
I don't think it's too much, the oaking.
No.
Becky, I really, really don't.
It's a style, though. I don't like...
it's a different style.
I agree. I think for me, stylistically, this is not my favorite. Well, you all are more fond of it because of the style than I am.
Well, in you know, New Zealand, typically, they're not going to oak like this.
No. Or at all.
At all.
By the way, this is the... we like it. We don't normally like an oaked Sauvignon Blanc. We don't.
You've talked about... you dislike oaked Sauvignon Blanc.
This
you've said that it's actually improper.
Yes. Well, I think so. That's my opinion. Obviously, many people would disagree. But
I would concur.
I think, though, this wine finds the right balance to suit me.
Particularly with this mouthfeel.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm impressed that it's oaked and it's still this light.
And I think, and Rob talked about that it's got this mouthfeel. It's got this almost creamy mouthfeel. But it's still light on your tongue. It's not... it... no, what you said actually was more along the lines of it's not heavy on your tongue.
Right. Yes, it's not flabby in any way.
So here's another question.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to buy this.
Oh, I bet you would. You really like this. This is something you'll buy the hell out of.
What? But why wouldn't you?
I know. Well, if Becky liked it, I'd buy it.
Well, but my point, I think... you said it. This is a white wine for red wine drinkers.
Yes.
Not necessarily. It's two things. This freaking mouthfeel is fantastic. And it's got that oaking that I think a red wine drinker will appreciate.
Yes.
Sure.
Or could appreciate.
Sure.
The fruit's different. And I think another reason that I could see that Triple B wouldn't care for this, the fruit profile in this is succinctly different than her beloved New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Sure.
It is. The other thing is, if you take away the oaking...
you have still a very nice wine.
What are you writing home about?
Mouthfeel.
Besides the mouthfeel.
Although the mouthfeel is often created a little bit by the oaking.
So what are you writing home about? The fruit profile is very, very muted.
I don't think so.
Yes,
I think it's the fruit profile that I want in a Sauvignon Blanc.
I think there's...
judgment.
I think... no, what I'm going to say I think there is some... there's a little green apple there, but I think it's
a little bit.
A blend of green apple. I like it for mango.
I find the floral element to be a lovely on the late mid palate into the finish.
And I know, yes, if you're playing along at home, unlicensed taxi driver bingo, I'm going to say it. There's a little minerality there.
Sure, there is.
There really is.
There's minerality.
Just a light.
But you mispronounce it. It's minerality.
Minerality.
It's minerality.
Everything in its place. Everything's subtle. I think if you like that upfront fruity Sauvignon Blanc, don't expect that out of this.
Well, Sauvignon Blancs aren't fruity. They're not supposed to be. Well, they're supposed to be crisp.
Well,
and this acidic.
Isn't particularly crisp.
Well, it's...
I agree.
Napa Sauvignon Blanc is treated differently. More expensive Sauvignon Blancs that aren't from New Zealand are treated differently. So this is their interpretation of Sauvignon Blanc. So you have to accept it for that. Now, you don't have to like that, which means, you know, if I don't like a little bit of oak on the finish for a Sauvignon Blanc, don't buy Napa because I probably won't like them.
Can I tell you something?
What?
If I had had this Sauvignon Blanc as my first introduction to it, I don't know that I would have kept drinking in this varietal.
Well,
I really am not a fan.
Well, and I think this takes you back to when, if something was oaked at all, I think you're just now embracing the subtlety of oak and what it can bring to a wine. And
Scott,
I think you should give this a chance.
If you gave this, if you were just tasting this blind, well, forgetting all that, what do you think this cost?
More than $17.
Yes, more than $17. $30.
But would 32? I go Sauvignon Blanc?
No, you would think it was a Chardonnay.
I'd say Sauvignon Blanc.
No, you would not.
Oh, I'm exceptional, Becky.
The only thing, that's why you two nuts like it. Is
you
because
probably,
it tastes like
you,
a Chardonnay.
You
it
would
doesn't
say,
taste like a Sauvignon Blanc.
You would
Blanc.
Say a Grenache Tiger. From the Finger Lakes. That's what you'd say.
The only thing that would steer you away from a Chardonnay is that this is completely clear.
Well, the color would be suggestive, yes. But
it's a Sauvignon you would Blanc. Never, this is not, no, you would not. The oaking would throw you off. You would say it was an oak Chardonnay.
It doesn't taste like a Chardonnay.
Fair enough.
In any way, shape, or form. It tastes
I'm
like
not,
Sauvignon Blanc.
I'm not good at
blind
tasting.
Are you?
I'm not
are you?
I can't wait in like 2 years, bust this piece out, and you're going to both say Chardonnay.
No, I'd say Sauvignon Blanc.
I'm not good at
I'd say from tasting. Napa.
Oh, bullshit.
I would. And I'd say, you know, this is Mason. But this is not what Mason tasted like back in the early 2000s.
Bitter?
What did it taste like?
No, it was herbaceous and grassy and completely different.
That's the other thing. When you have some grass in a Sauvignon Blanc, that's also a delight. There's none of that in this.
There really is none of that. There's a little minerality, which is, I think, coming from the same place.
This is a winery that they do two things. They're boutique. And they're all in on Napa, and they're doing Napa style. I bet you right now could guess what their Cabernet probably tastes like. Hmm. Probably tastes, you know, like a version of Camus, maybe better than that.
Does wine.com carry them?
It's unavailable. I don't know. It shows
there,
it there,
but it's unavailable.
$70, which, you know, for a boutique Cabernet, hey. I'd give it a whirl.
This Sauvignon Blanc makes me want to try their Cabernet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Makes I would.
But can you see that though?
Yeah,
sure. I think it. So
they could charge $25.99 for this thing, and well, I mean, are you going to tell me that? Well, first of all, we've had a few of those. Stag's Leap is not better than this. Frog's Leap is not better than this. There's a lot of those that. They just aren't better than this. They're fine. Duckhorn is probably going to be similar to this. I haven't had Duckhorn yet. We'll have it sometime. But those things aren't appreciably better than this, and this thing is $10 less.
At least $10 less. At least $10 less.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, really? So if you like Napa Sauvignon Blancs, you like Napa. You like Chardonnays from Napa. This is a wine at a really, really cheap price that gives you a lot of class and skill.
We talk about mouthfeel all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hell of a wine for the price.
Anything
Hell
under $20, you have a mouthfeel like this? I can try it. Maybe like Becky, it's not your thing. And that's okay. And what are you out? $17.
Yeah.
This has a mouthfeel that is...
Oh, yeah.
many more expensive wines wish they had a mouthfeel like this.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
I would say the mouthfeel is the star of the wine. Honestly, beyond that, though, what is there?
Loveliness.
I like the way it's oaked. I like the little subtlety of the wine. Mm-hmm. But I agree. It is the star of the show. The
green
mouthfeel.
Apple, pear, no. All very subtle. Yeah, pear. All very subtle.
I went mango. Okay.
Mango?
I went mango.
Mango's, yeah.
There's a sweet fruit in there.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, when you're picking, you know, you're just, yeah, mango, pear. You're talking about a prickly-ish.
Sweet fruit there with that.
Yeah.
Little green
apple. Don't eat mango that often, but I have to think back. It has a little bit more of a pininess to it. This doesn't have that. That's why I went with pear. But, you know.
Because
less tropical fruit.
Mango gets lumped in with the tropical fruit, but it really is.
It's really
different. It's really different.
It's prickly. It's got an oddness to it. I've never been a huge fan.
When you have a proper mango and it's fresh, there's a little bit of savoriness to it.
So Mason also is doing a Pinot Grigio. I just lost it.
Well, no. Well, everybody knows that you're looking for it. That's okay.
I'm sure you're going to say everybody knows you're losing it. That would have been...
No.
They're also... So I guess that they're Pinot Grigio. After listening to customers and distributors, they decided to produce their first ever Pinot Grigio called Three Pears, a name inspired after their three children. They also have another Sauvignon Blanc named Pomelo. And it's a fun and playful spin on their Californian Sauvignon Blanc. And the press and this is the press and consumers go crazy for it, but it's also not available.
Yeah. How much did those cost?
It's not available. Can't buy it.
Oh well, it didn't have a price. It just wasn't there. Right. Okay, it must be small production.
I would be interested in their Pinot Gris.
You know, it's not listed on their website though.
No, but maybe. Well, she's saying it's a different name. Maybe they have a completely different website for that. This is just their standard Mason, and they call that something else, you know.
I'll look and see what I can find.
Yeah. Harry Dick Schlappman wine.
Yeah,
or something
I heard
like
that. That's what they were calling it.
Yeah. Well, then I'm going to sue
them. You can buy Pomelo. Uh-huh. What's WW?
Wilford Wong.
Yes.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, so he gave it a 90.
I gave that a 90.
Oh, here's where their varietals come in.
Commentary.
Pomelo, they have a Sauvignon Blanc, they have a Rosé, and they have a Chardonnay.
Barf.
From the tasting panel. Gave it a 90.
That's right. I was with them that night. They did that.
Their Chardonnay has 2.7 stars.
That's not out of 3. I've never seen something that low.
Yeah, same.
Wow. Now I see why they don't have that on their website. I've never seen anything that low. I've rated things lower than
Guess who sells Pomelo wines? When you Google Pomelo Winery, the first hit is Pomelo Wines. You know what the second hit is? TotalWine.com.
No, that's not a surprise. That's right.
Their Pomelo Rosé.
Yes.
What fruit is this on their label?
It's a Pomelo.
A what?
Pomelo's a fruit.
Is it?
Yes.
Those are some nice ripe melons they've got.
Easy.
They are. Why? Is that something?
They don't have that fruit on all of them. They've had a lemon on the Chardonnay.
They ran out.
And on the Sauvignon Blanc.
They ran out of them.
They had some. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Maybe you are wrong.
It would not be the first time. I think a Pomelo is a fruit.
Is it?
I believe it is.
So why would you name your winery after the most obscure...
Pomelo is a fruit.
The most obscure fruit ever. I would
Yes, and that was a picture of a Pomelo on what wine
the
was
rose.
It? On the Rosé.
The Rosé name, whatever it is, Pomelo.
It kind of looks like a green apple, but it's shaped pear-ish-like, and then it has
looks like
segments.
It looks
like
a lemon on the inside.
Some of them, but then they can also be red. I think they're red when they're ripe, perhaps.
It's fascinating.
It's a citrus fruit. The Pomelo, or in scientific terms, Citrus Maxima,
more of the
or Citrus
varietals.
Grandis, is the largest citrus fruit from the family Ruticaceae, and the principal ancestor of the grapefruit. It is a natural, i.e., non-hybrid citrus fruit native to Southeast Asia.
I'm sure there are
so
people
three
in
pairs.
What? Yeah.
Not available, but it's usually around $10.99.
Well, sorry, one named after their three children. I can't hear you.
We'll use the
Named after their three children. But it does have 4.5 stars, so it is more critically acclaimed, especially for being at 10.99.
Well,
more so than that 2.7.
But frank. I wouldn't say critically acclaimed.
No one's ever used
this. Those are users.
The wine.com star rating is not critically acclaimed.
How often do you all go online and rate wines on wine.com?
Don't. Well, that makes a difference, I know, but it's like my vote counts.
I don't do it. Do you?
Why?
I just don't.
What was that really bad red wine we just had? I rated it online.
Snoop?
Yeah, I rated that one.
Poop. What'd you give it?
Poop Dog?
One?
Yeah. I mean, I gave it a really bad score.
She gave it a full moon. No stars.
A little over online reviews. Warner World Roy buy everything online, and I'm just tired of Amazon harassing me to give them scores on something I bought 20 fucking times.
Well, first of all, Scott, they're not harassing.
Oh, I did. I gave it one star.
They're harassing me.
No, they're not.
They're sending me multiple emails.
Are they sexually harassing you?
I feel that way.
My review for the Snoop Dogg wine, one star, not great. This was gifted to us, but it wasn't drinkable. It is sweet in a bad way, and the oaking tastes cheap. I would not buy. I don't know how much that helps because it has a 4.1.
And that's why. That's the thing. It's like Yelp reviews. I know. So back in the day when I was officially was the unlicensed taxi driver doing the Uber, I would engage with customers about food and bars and things like that. And
right.
Met several people who said they were, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a Yelp reviewer.
That's not a job.
As a job?
That's what they introduce themselves as.
Oh, like an
I'm like,
Instagram
oh, really?
Influencer.
Yes.
Oh, so you're a jack wagon.
But it's like,
so uncool.
You read enough of Yelp reviews and you realize that there's certain people that, yeah, they take it serious. They're on. They want to do it. And some of them go to the same place all the time and write glowing reviews all the time, which is freaking fantastic. I'll be honest, the only place I do that is on Southwest Rewards, Rapid Rewards, for places that I love, because I go there all the time, and I go for the extra 10 points. You know, it's free airline miles, what can I say? But the Yelp reviews, you read so many of them. Mm-hmm. Freaking fake. It's fake. You go on Home Depot and you read reviews on products, and it's like the first 10, you go, that's fake, that one's fake, uh-huh. That one's fake, that one's fake. So,
yeah, that 2x4 sucks. I know that. Then I'm going to give that a 5-star bullshit.
It's like my buddy was talking about a product where it's like, yeah, I bought this stuff for my yard, and I can't really tell if it works, so I'm giving it 1 star. Well, don't fucking review it yet. Tell you if it tells it works.
You know what's bad?
People are stupid.
You know what Scott's upset about? Hmm. He was reviewing plywood, but the name of his review was, I love hardwood, and it just came off wrong. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Talk about.
And we're back, folks. Scott off the air was lamenting that he loves the artist known as Billy Preston, and nobody knew who it was. But Scott, you have to understand, folks, he wanted to go see KC and the Sunshine Band.
Until I realized it was 37.
Now, in the casino in a like a conference room, and it was $37 a person, and I had already said no to someone who pays me $37. What's this shit?
This was his big hit.
Okay.
If you want to be with me.
That's great.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something. If you want to be with me.
It's strange.
Yeah. Cuz is loving that.
Normally you're not.
I just realized when you asked us about them, I was thinking it was Casey and JoJo.
Oh, he'd go see that too.
And that
I don't remember. Was Becky on air when we did that? Was she with us at that point in time?
Yeah.
When you sang Casey Joe.
No, when I said let's go to the Casey and the Sun. When I said let's go to the concert, you were with us. Okay.
Yeah, but in my mind it was Casey and JoJo, and just now I'm like, oh wait a second.
No.
Let's go see. No.
The only song I know they sing is All My Life.
What?
Casey and JoJo.
Casey and JoJo, not.
Oh, I don't know anything about Casey and
JoJo. Hey, Rob, let's go see.
Yes, you do.
Glad, no.
Don't look it up.
Yes. No.
Don't look it up. Now, if you said, hey, Rob, let's go see Joe to see, I'd be like, yeah. You understand that's not the way they sound anymore, Scott?
I don't care.
Didn't they have a child molester in their group?
Yeah, we've been down that road.
Okay.
Turn that off.
Wait.
I actually have never been down that road, but.
So we talked about the child molester.
It
was a roadie or something.
They don't have roadies. They set their own shit up. And you too, folks, could hear that same, this music. And your local casino in their conference room. for the price of $37. Plus Ticketmaster fees.
You know this song.
Yeah, that sucks.
Hold on.
Scott, play some more music because that's terrible. I know that song.
You know this song, don't you?
Yeah. That one.
He took his He took his great grandchildren to their prom and they danced to that.
That is a prom dance song.
In 1974, no, it was like, what, 90s, right?
That intro is a minute long.
That's way too long for this song.
Why do you listen to that crap?
There is good R&B.
I've not heard that song in forever.
So when I was talking about Casey and the Sunshine.
Yeah, that's who I, in my mind, it was immediately Casey and JoJo. And I was like, that is so weird.
What?
Rob.
What?
Nothing.
About what? I'm just saying, that guy's no R. Kelly. That's all I can say.
Rob.
It's true.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's Drake, but you used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Ooh.
That was gross.
That was nice. Call me on By the way, Drake's getting fat, but that's
what?
Oh yeah, he's a little chubby.
Who did I hear he's dating?
Everybody. Rihanna.
No.
Brianna. A porn star. He got a porn star pregnant. Ugly one.
Baby.
A really nasty one. Really? Like, not the one that you watch.
Oh, so.
What?
Maybe that's what
a
it was.
A really nasty porn star. You're shaming porn stars now?
Like a Trump level porn star that he'd be into. Yeah, that kind. Yeah.
Okay, let's change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Trump? From Trump or porn stars?
All of the above.
The Mason Sauvignon Blanc. They're probably so happy that we segued into them. Like that.
I know.
Two things. Saw one curious labeling on a vehicle. This was today. It said, dirty hands, clean money. I don't know what that fucking means.
They're money launderers?
Maybe. That's what I thought of. But somehow I thought it was like an advertisement for a cleaning company?
No.
It's not.
But what does it mean? And it was like... It wasn't like a bumper sticker. It was like the back window with big detailed letters.
Probably into drugs.
Yeah, I don't think you advertise
Scott's into drugs or they're into drugs?
All of the above.
So then earlier in the week, I saw the thing that was the best thing I saw this week. Again, larger than a bumper sticker, but probably you could put this on a t-shirt and probably make a lot of money. It said, "My dog is smarter than your president."
Accurate. And Beau's dumb as shit, so.
Love it.
Maybe not our dog, but some dogs.
Go
our,
around the room.
Our,
love
no,
it.
No, our dog is very dumb, but I would agree that he's smarter than the president.
Than your president. I like that part of it. That's a little demeaning. No, not really. It's people that it's their president.
It's not mine.
Rob, you got nothing. Mason Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes, Mason Sauvignon Blanc. We're going to go around the room.
Where did Skipping you Becky. Get this?
Wine.com.
Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, we get no money from Wine.com. We give them money. Love Wine.com.
As far as you know, we don't get money from them.
Easy, Tiger.
This is
Scott gets no money from Sauvignon
Blanc. This is the equivalent of Rob telling Henry that William has a YouTube channel. That's what just happened.
That's true. You know, Henry, though, is probably listening to all the podcasts to just try to see. I bet. See, folks, I don't know if we told you. My son,
we have
Henry, the oldest. Yeah, he is obsessed with like YouTube. They watch that stuff all the time.
All kids are obsessed with well, IT anyway, kids.
We have told Henry that William is a world famous YouTuber and has like multiple. He bought our house and all, and Henry will just.
We told him that the house is in William's name because yeah. He's so famous.
Henry will start arguing with us just randomly. We haven't brought it up, and he'll start. I'm not William. You lie. He has so much inner rage about this
and William,
because he knows you're lying to him, and you are lying to him.
But what's so hilarious?
Henry is such a great kid, and he's. I think he's mentally abused. I think yes. He's mentally abused.
What's so hilarious is every once in a while, William will get mad at Henry
Jesus.
Being on the
this
iPad.
This is hysterical.
Yeah.
And William will come downstairs in tears, and he'll say, Henry's trying to delete my YouTube channel.
See.
I'm like, what is happening?
See, William.
He doesn't have a YouTube channel.
Well.
William does not have a YouTube channel.
He is 7. I've told Henry. And everything
I thought it was 11.
Henry, everything that Henry's good at, William has a YouTube channel. So it's
which, by the way, famous, Henry's pretty fucking good about everything.
And yeah. All of the famous YouTubers like Ryan's Toy Review, Dude Perfect, yeah. Supposedly we've all had them on William's channel.
They're all friends of William. But so Henry's wife's like, yeah, William knows them.
I can't wait till Henry tells his friends at school about
yeah.
It.
And he won't because he's smarter than that.
Henry goes to William. He comes in, he goes, you've never met them, have you? He goes, no. And he goes, I said, who am I thinking of? He goes, Dude Perfect. Oh, you know him? Yes. And he's like, you do not, William. Yes, I met him. He's on my YouTube channel. He is not. Yeah, he is. Yeah. William, when he's mad at Henry, or wants to piss Henry off.
He does a great job.
Oh, he's the best.
Tell about the haircut.
Oh, tonight Henry was bawling, getting a haircut. Flipping out.
Like I was cutting his fingers off.
And just to piss off William goes, I'll get my hair cut. He sat down. William was just, I was using clippers. I was using a mustache trimmer properly.
Really?
Yeah. And William.
I'm inspired.
And he doesn't look like a white supremacist after I used him. Go figure. Anyway.
No, he doesn't look like a freaking, the line that my wife uses is inappropriate, but she says Auschwitz survivor.
Rob said that before about Henry.
Yes.
He said that he looked like he was a Holocaust victim.
No, I said he looks like a lesbian. There's a difference.
You've said that, but you also said you looked like he was an Auschwitz survivor.
I mean, you never saw his haircut, but that's okay.
You saw mine.
Yes, you look like a white supremacist.
No, that was the finished product.
Here's a serious question.
Yes, I guess.
Whose haircut was worse?
Scott's.
That really,
mine.
Scott's.
Nobody took
Scott's.
Proper video Scott's. Documentation of my haircut.
I got plenty of pictures of it. Scott's.
But actually,
that was worse
Scott's.
Than Henry's when he was
oh,
like,
oh,
Scott's.
God.
Okay.
Scott's.
You just gave me a lot of grief about it.
Scott's.
There's a lot of clumping of hair in the back.
Scott's.
Mine was the worst.
And you and you shaved your head down so you had a coonskin cap top to your head.
That was the best part of it.
That was the, well, it was all bad,
no,
but.
That was the best of it.
No. No.
It's still bad. So my hair's growing in now, folks.
You don't deserve your hair to grow in.
And.
I was going to ask, how's it growing in, Jack?
Well.
People, you know what? Someone would think that someone strapped you down and pranked you by shaving your head like that. You like somebody did that to you. When they find out you did it to yourself, they're like, then you must have wanted that.
I mean, sadomasochism.
There's different ways to do that, Scott. Like shock yourself or burn yourself or, you know, whip yourself with a belt. You don't do like that pain. To your hair.
Did you mess up like your hair follicles, you think?
No. So
it looks normal in the front.
Kind
of. But I understand, like, when you've messed up your hair, I get it. So that's what I was asking.
Well, that's because his hair is all messed up from the hood. It's growing in now.
It's growing in now. And, you know, I would keep my hair short length, relative medium, and then I would glue it straight back. I wore the Pacino De Niro. My hair would just go. I would wake up in the morning, and I would put product in my hair, and I would glue it down straight back, and I don't even think about it. And any other time during the day. Yeah. I don't have to look in the mirror. I don't want to look in the mirror. I don't look in the mirror. I don't give a fuck about my hair. But I would glue it down, blow it straight back. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it looked that
it's
way.
It's growing in now. I can't do that. It doesn't. If I try and comb it back at all, it sticks straight up.
Huh. That's cool.
You change the direction of your hair growth?
I think it always grew that way, but there was long enough hair that I could actually. Gel it back and glue it in place.
Comb over. I'm sorry. Anyway, so on to
don't have a bald spot.
Okay, onto the mason.
But it's awful. So I went for my first haircut, and the person that was going to cut my hair said, "Oh, I have just the haircut for you." It was, she said something.
It's all the rave and obets.
She said something. She said it's a two phase. I don't know what that is. Mm. And then
did you tell her what you did?
Oh, she knew.
Oh, she saw. Okay.
She knew. And so when I'm done, she dressed it up, jazzed it up, and it's all combed forward, which I used to comb my hair backwards. But And then she says, "Oh, you're going to need this product to do your hair this way." I said, "Oh, really? I'm going to need this product. How much is this product?" $25.
Yeah.
At the fucking sports club, my haircut was $6. Yeah. And she wants to sell me $25 product. I'm like, I ain't fucking.
They don't have a $6 haircut at sports club.
$6.99.
That's a kid's haircut. What the hell, man?
$6.99.
What'd you get?
That was the price then. It was when it just opened back up. It was $6.99.
I almost said something horrible.
What'd you say? Say something horrible.
I almost said maybe that was the senior discount that you don't get, Rob.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
The
it's
boys' haircuts at whatever the place is at Meijer is $10.
Yeah. But Sport Clips is like $25.
But I don't. Well, Rob, you also get a massage.
Oh, I do. They wash my hair.
Robles.
Wait, you have no hair.
Give me a hand job. Stuff like that.
Disgusting.
Okay, Triple B, the Mason. People need to hear about hand jobs.
There's nothing wrong with the hand job.
So, one last time.
There's not.
What was his name?
Bob.
Okay.
Okay. So, for one last time.
Yes.
I just want to go on the record as saying I do not like California Sauvignon Blancs. I think that you purposefully threw this debate by picking a cheap version of a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I think that Kimmy would have been a much better comparison. That being said,
I think the quality comparison point for sure would have been closer.
Yeah.
No, Love Block.
I think, honestly, though, I think you'd have to go Love Block to get to the quality of this.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Ow! That hurt. That hurt. That hurt my inner soul.
Perestroika, perestroika. Go ahead.
Okay. The other thing that I will say is that I am not a fan of an oaked Sauvignon Blanc. I think that if you want something that is oaked, you should have an oak Chardonnay. This is not my cup of tea.
It's interesting because I think Rob has gone on to say that it is inappropriate to oak a Sauvignon Blanc.
But now he's changing his mind to fit his narrative.
And let me translate what Becky said because she just said that in Russian.
So
what she said.
I'm not finished with my review.
Oh. How Marxist of you. Go ahead.
That being said.
Come ahead.
I do know that the mouthfeel is elevated.
It really is good.
I don't like the oaking. I think it could have a better fruit profile. It doesn't have the crispness that I love in
is Sauvignon Blanc. I'm giving it an 87. It is not my cup of tea. I would personally not buy this. I understand why you all like it.
You know, I'm just going to say this about Becky's score.
She would rather have drank vodka tonight.
It's very
this is almost for considering what she just said, that she was being the Russian judge and she wanted to hate it. She gave it an 87. It's almost like a James Suckling score.
What do you mean? You mean a reverse James Suckling score?
No, it's like a James Suckling score.
Is it?
She wanted to give it a 79, but she couldn't.
No, she couldn't because it was so good. Because
it's good.
But normally I'm not that way.
I think Becky makes some valid points.
When? Tonight?
In her talk about the wine, but I think she's...
Scott, that wasn't a talk. That was a diatribe. Go ahead.
Stop. Please. You're being an awful human being right now.
What he's doing is he's trying to be mean so I go upstairs and don't drink the...
It's not going to work, though, is it? It's not going to work, though, is it? I think... The one thing I'll disagree with you slightly on, I think there is still a sense of Sauvignon Blanc crispness to this.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not the traditional Christmas you get. But what I love about this wine, aside from the elevated mouthfeel, and I do like the craftfully oaking of the wine. Those are the two things that stand out. But everything else about it is subtle and present, and you can pick them out.
Yes, absolutely.
Floral, slight minerality. The fruit, I would agree with Becky. I would like it to be just slightly.
Not me.
More fruit forward.
No.
Slightly.
Not under these.
To be fair.
But not under these circumstances.
To be fair.
Not with the oak.
To be fair, under any circumstances, I think she's right. That would elevate this wine even more.
No.
I think she's correct.
No, she's wrong.
It's not a downstrike on it, but...
Is downstrike
I think it... Yeah, downstrike is definitely a word.
Okay, that's why I ask. I didn't know. I'm going to use that, so...
No, you're going to get downstruck upon by your wife later tonight. She's going to downstrike on your head, and you're going to tap out UFC fashion, and Becky's going to be the reigning... Dern household UFC champion from in three rounds in the UFC submitted by Downstrike, the current Dern household champion,
Scott.
Rebecca Triple B
Dern.
The longer you carry on in this fashion, is the longer we have to
89.
Wait.
89.
Oh, thank you for getting
the point I'm going to make is that the things Becky talked about is what keeps this from being a wine that starts with a 9. It's really good though, folks. Mm. For this price point, this is budget entry, Hall of Fame, what? All day long. This is... I don't know if year to year this is going to be in my wheelhouse, but right now,
yeah,
this is in my wheelhouse. I'll be buying this shit.
And now it's on to me, folks.
What do you got?
This wine is exquisite, partly because it represents the American way. Trust me, you're already asleep because of Scott talking for 30 minutes, but...
When you were doing that, Bo's head was like tilting back and forth.
My UFC thing.
It's like, what's your fucking problem?
Triple. She loved my UFC diatribe against you, and she's going to pummel you with down strikes as soon as I leave the household.
So interesting. Anyway, I'm going to give this wine 90 of my points.
What? You are so stupid. That is a stupid score.
It's not that far from you. I love it.
It's not
I personally find that everything is in balance. That being said.
I agree with that.
Oh, my God.
I think that 90 is where this wine is.
Uh-huh.
To say you want to do this or that and make it a 91, 92, I think that throws off the wine. I think you're throwing it all in the bin and starting all again, starting a new wine at that point. My 90 is the ceiling for this wine, is what I'm saying. Okay. I don't think you should manipulate it anymore or do anything else to it. If you wanted to do a different style, if you don't like this style, that's another argument. And that's valid. For what, you know, Becky is jaded, but still.
Mm. When was the last time we had a $17 bottle of wine that had this mouthfeel?
Absolutely. Well, Scott.
When?
But
when
we've had expensive Sauvignon Blancs from Napa. We know what they taste like. I haven't subjected Becky to that because why would I? So, we know that this tastes like expensive Napa Sauvignon Blanc from California. We know this is what it tastes like. We've had examples of those wines. So you have to, we appreciate the style. Becky does not drink those. Why? Because we don't buy them. Because that's stupid to pay $25, $28, $30 for, it is, for Sauvignon Blanc.
If that's what you want, then pay $25.
Scott, you don't have to.
I know.
Because here
you get Mason.
At
$17.
And it's everything those wines are at 30. It is. Everything those wines are at 30. This wine is at 17, which puts it in the value price.
It's a Hall of Fame. So,
but, oh my gosh.
But
I lower my score to a 10.
I don't care. But I'll raise mine to a 92 and put it in the regular Hall of Fame.
It would be an interesting thing to have a night of Sauvignon Blanc and have Mason.
I'm good with that.
No,
Love Block.
Do you know?
And Kim Crawford. It would be an interesting night of Sauvignon Blanc.
Your all scores are warped because Rob picked out a.
You're shaming us.
I am. I'm just trying to help you all.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because
I love it when Becky mansplains to us.
Rob picked a shitty New Zealand wine.
He did.
If Mason was worth even an 87 is probably high. If it was worth an 87, then he could have put Kim Crawford or Love Block up against it. Instead,
but we've done those on the show.
He
already.
Chose right, but why didn't he put them on tonight? The reason why he had to pick a wine that you got for what $7 is to make the second wine of the night be better.
You know what?
And you know what? Scott?
The reason he did this is to fire you up.
Scott, I am sad Becky. To say you fell for it.
No, I'm not falling for this wine. This is a good wine.
No, it's not.
By the way, I'd like to thank you for giving me way more credit than what I deserve, but that's okay.
Me?
That suggests I'm an evil genius, which I am, but
me
not in that
case.
Me giving
this wine in 87 is a gift to this.
Oh, my Lord.
Let me say this. I will say that the Oyster Bay Mason is not really, no.
Thank you.
But I had no other options.
Right, because we don't have a Meyer or a Kroger.
What am I
or a Giant
Eagle. I just go spend willy-nilly on wine left and right.
We don't have any other store available where you could buy literally any other Sauvignon Blanc to put up against this.
It's not like
there are case stacks of Kim Crawford.
I can't go buy Mary Edwards and put this up against that one, because that's what we're talking about tonight.
Right.
He's
he's high on
achieved
mine.
His goal.
I have.
All he was trying to do was fire you up. About New Zealand versus Cali, and he won.
There is no argument. New Zealand.
I had a 2015 Hess Select Sauvignon Blanc.
You picked.
I'll have that against Kim Crawford.
You picked a wine that was almost a third of the price to put it up against.
No, they're the same price.
They are not
same price.
No.
He bought it close.
Price is Right. Full retail price. Same price.
Yeah, $18.99 was Oyster Bay on wine.com.
Boom.
But
I think it would be interesting to put to do a night of Sauvignon Blanc. Rob says, that'd be fine.
I'm not John Lamont. I don't sound that way. No, I would just say.
You did say that.
That actually sounds like it would be shitty. So, fuck.
You'd like this.
What happens is Rob feels like he would maybe be proven wrong.
About what?
Well,
Mason.
I
like Mason.
Look, you've got.
I think Love Block's better.
You've got. I'm not sure.
Kimmy's better.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right though.
You don't know if Love Block's better than.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
That being said, Kim Crawford has got some good reviews.
I shared
from the tasting panel
bottle of Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc with my mom. She loved it. We had a great time. It was safe COVID
did she,
visit.
Did she like the bubbles?
Tiny bubbles.
Yeah, Scotty, I love it when you bring me Sprite to drink. Mom, this is Kim Crawford talking about.
A local attorney was killed last night when his wife, in a UFC title match, killed him through downstrikes.
Folks, I do enjoy Kim Crawford. Their line, because I don't drink their rosé, but their Chardonnay. Becky wouldn't know this, but the Chardonnay is pretty well done. Their Sauvignon Blanc is consistent. And quite frankly, right now, it has gotten good reviews, and it would be worthwhile trying.
It's really good.
And we have always liked their Pinot Noir. It's a good wine.
But
a great wine. A good wine, though. And we can buy it fairly reasonable. So Kim Crawford as a line is a strong wine. Love Block is a very good wine. The very, very good wine.
But it's also $30.
Not the Sauvignon Blanc. It's $20.
I don't think so, son.
Well, that math would suggest it's $19.99. Go to Meijer, Scott. You can buy it right now for $19.99. All right. The Pinot is $30, but it's Pinot. That's okay, though. You just worry about being pretty. So, folks.
I'm not worried about being pretty. I am pretty.
$2.89 and $90 for the Maison Sauvignon Blanc. An 80, an 81, and an 85 for the shitty New Zealand wine. A Hall of Fame for Maison.
Well, easy.
Value.
But then again, priced Hall of Fame.
A 90 and 289s.
You're just trying to rub. You really do want to die by that strikes.
A 90 and 289s.
Becky, for the record, I'll officiate the match. And if you actually give him a hematoma that he dies from, I'll be there as your witness that it was a consensual physical MMA match.
Okay, that's enough.
And that he deserves to die.
Anyway, Becky has not picked up on the fact that I said that she scored it an 89, but that's okay. You gave it an 87. Nevertheless.
And I'm going to rip it off the wall when you put it up. I wasn't even listening because as soon as you said value price Hall of Fame, I was just thinking about how I was going to take it down.
Anyway, it's a wonderful value.
I would not recommend.
The Le Bloc Sauvignon Blanc is $20 on the wine.com.
It's not great.
And it's better than Alpatagua. So, folks, I'll throw whatever shit on the wall I have to just to piss you off. So, folks, wonderful Maison. Makes me happy. I have another wine from my childhood coming that my mother had me drink. Via Cafaggio, Chianti Classico.
Enjoy doing the show with you guys. It has been great to connect with you.
Yeah.
With Rob's upcoming death, we probably won't be producing any more podcasts.
Scott.
Becky, final sign off.
Yeah, just do a final sign off.
Hey, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver in the Triple B, I can take her in a fight here on the Wine Vault. Good night.